WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. When the Colombian drug lords declared war against the press, Maria Jimena Tusan was nearly a victim. Her house was bombed. So was her newspaper's building. Her sister was murdered. Tusan was part of a team of reporters investigating the Colombian cocaine cartels for the newspaper El Espectador. She's written a new memoir called Death Beat, A Colombian Journalist's Life Inside the Cocaine Wars. In 1988, she broke the story exposing the connection between the drug cartels and the Colombian military. The story took her to the countryside in the southern part of her country, a lawless area where landowners, drug traffickers, and anti-government guerrillas competed for control.
At that time, the drug dealers were trying to build laboratories in the south of Colombia. So all of a sudden, they found that the guerrilla was trying to get a lot of land as well. And the drug dealers and the guerrilla started to fight because of the land. And when the military saw that they were kind of, you know, fighting each other, the military decided to make an alliance with the drug dealers in order to fight the guerrillas. They didn't share, you know, the same ideology. They didn't share with the right landowners, but they were trying to do the same thing, to get rid of the guerrilla. So they did this alliance, and they killed thousands of people, not only guerrilla, because you see, it's very difficult to kill a guerrilla. You kill the peasants, you kill the civilians that you think they're part of a guerrilla, but you'd never know.
So the military united with the drug cartels against the guerrilla groups.
That's it.
So you ended up later criticizing the American government because the American government was trying to fight the war against cocaine by sending aid to the military. But you said, well, but the military is working with the cocaine cartel, so what's this going to accomplish?
Yeah, that's it. There was the contradiction, you know, from my point of view as a Colombian journalist. And it was very, very really, you know, strange to see how things were working. You know, United States was helping a Colombian army, and Colombian army was using that money, that assistance money, not to fight the drug dealers, but to fight the guerrillas.
In 1982, when you were 24, you interviewed the leader of an urban guerrilla group called M19, and this was one of the guerrilla groups under attack by Pablo Escobar. In order to be interviewed by this group, you decided to fake your kidnapping, to fake your own kidnapping. Why was that the only way you felt like you could safely interview the leader of this group?
Well, because at that time it was, the military was very reluctant to see journalists going out and, you know, interviewing guerrilla leaders. But we as journalists thought at that time that it was important for Colombians to know what was going on with the guerrilla. But when we did that, the military immediately thought or tried to put that kind of you know, journalist work as a supporter, as if we were supporting the guerrillas. So we would have to be in jail and 10 days in jail. And, you know, that was really, you know, something very difficult to do. So that's why, in order to avoid jail, in order to avoid being in prison and, you know, being harassed in a way, I decided to fake my interview. And I said that they were kidnapping me. That was not true. And afterwards, it didn't work because the military knew it was, you know, that I was lying and that they didn't kidnap me. I went by my own means.
Now, I believe your house was bombed later that year. Was there a connection?
Yes, I was hit, and a bomb exploded at my house. And, well, I spent after that like 6 months hiding in Colombia. I didn't want to go outside. And I wrote everything I remember, you know, from my trip to guerrilla, to the guerrilla, while I was at hiding. And it was a very difficult moment, you know. It was, they didn't, you know, they didn't put me in jail, but they bought my house, and they sent me into hiding. And I had to hide in my own country.
My guest is Maria Jimena Dusan. She's written a memoir called Death Beat, A Colombian Journalist's Life Inside the Cocaine Wars. More after this break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Colombian journalist Maria Jimena Dusan. You called 1989 the year the drug lords declared total and absolute war against the news media. That was the year the newspaper offices, the offices of the paper you work for, were destroyed in a bomb blast. The blast was so intense it shook your apartment.
Oh yes, that was, you know, one of the worst days of my life. I think so, and I thought we were so scared. And we knew that something was going to happen, that when I heard that, you know, the noise, this horrible, you know, noise, I knew immediately when I was at my place, you know, I live high up in the mountains, that bomb, that first that was a bomb, and second that bomb was, you know, placed against El Espectador, the newspaper that I work with. I went immediately. And we saw this, you know, destruction and people just, you know, amazing, you know, to see a newspaper bombed. It's the most difficult feeling, you know, to describe, because it's, you know, you don't see why, you know, the only arm you have, it's your pen, your scriptwriter, you know, you just don't know how to fight back. On one side, and on the other side, you see how, you know, the power of the words, you know, the power of journalism.
Although you and many journalists became more determined to report the story of the cocaine trade, I'm sure there were other journalists who felt that it was time to leave, time to either give up reporting or to give up living in Colombia. Did you have many friends who went into exile?
Well, yes, I had. Apparently not for the newspaper. It was very interesting what happened in the, you know, inside the newspaper. See what was going on. I mean, there was this newspaper was, first of all, the, you know, his editor-in-chief was killed. Second of all, his lawyer was killed. Six journalists were killed. And after all those killings, it was bomb. So, you know, you would imagine that many journalists would decided to go out and at least not, you know, stopping, you know, from going to the newspaper. Well, nobody did that. So that was something very strange and very rewarding, I would say. But yes, there were many journalists that decided to live on exile. And it was very, you know, I didn't want to do it as well. And I stayed like 4 years in Colombia. But after my sister's assassination, I had to go as well on exile. And I met them. I met them in Paris, and I met them in Miami and in Spain. And it was a very, kind of a very difficult exile, you see, because we were not like the, you know, exiles from Chile or from Argentina. You know, we were not going out from a dictatorship or from a, you know, a state that was completely, you know, besieged by the dictators. We couldn't go out and, you know, and protest like the Argentinians or the Chileans did on the 80s in the streets of Paris, you know, against the dictatorship or against Pinochet or against the military in Argentina. We didn't do that. We couldn't do that. Nobody understood us. And so, you know, it was very difficult, you know. We couldn't explain why we were out.
I want to ask you about your sister. She had been working on a documentary for British TV, a documentary mm-hmm. related to the drug trade. Do you know exactly who murdered her?
Well, yeah, exactly. the what we call the not the intellectuals, you know, who really did, you know, and thought how to do the killing, were the ones who were the owners of a most, you know, one of the important region of Colombia, and the head of a drug paramilitary squad, and the ones who actually, you know, kill her were a policeman and somebody from the army. Just, you know, that tells you how, you know, corrupted was the institutions in Colombia.
Your sister was working on a documentary about the drug lords, but did you ever worry that part of the reason why they killed her was to get back at you?
Well, I thought that, you know, first I didn't, you know, I didn't believe that. That was really kind of the story. But finally I ended up believing that because they told us, the investigative team that from, you know, the judiciary system in Colombia started out the investigation, told me finally that they were really wanting to hit my sister because, you know, they were wanting to hit me as well. And apparently they were well aware of our relationship, you know, my sister and myself. And when I knew that, it was really, you know, horrible for me because it was something, you know, you wouldn't expect, you know. That's the most difficult, you know, kind of punishment from a terrorist, you know, from the terrorism, you know, to kill, you know, the people you love. That really hurts. And so that's why when I decided to go out, I decided I ran out of oil, of energy, and that I was really needing to, you know, have some time to you know, put down things and start again. And, you know, I didn't know that I was going to write this book, but I did write this book. So this book is kind of the telling somebody my nightmare.
So you decided to go into exile after your sister was murdered?
Yeah. After my sister was murdered, I thought, well, you know, it was too much for somebody. And I thought, it's time for me to stop writing, because when you've been so hit, either you become, you know, completely distorted, you know, all the things you would say or you would write would be distorted by your pain, or you would go, you know, like if nothing happened. And so I said, you know, we have to my family, I said, no, I have to stop here and go out and see what's going on into my soul. And special because I couldn't stay in Colombia, you see, because they had hit my newspaper, they had hit my home, they had killed my sister. So I wouldn't, you know, I was not wanting to stay there and to see how my brother and my mother were going to be hit as well. There was too much for me. I was, you know, done. I was done. So I went out. I went to Paris and I went to Miami and I went to France, to Spain. And spend there sometimes on exile, some months in exile, and start, you know, writing this book. And I for a moment I thought I was never going to be a journalist again. And I knew right now at that time that I was, you know, I was really completely distorted in my mind, and that really what I'm always be and, you know, will be as a journalist, and that's why I wrote the book.
In 1992, you went back to Colombia. Why did you think it was safe then to go back?
No, it wasn't safe. It was safe for me, for my soul. I ended this, you know, drama, dilemma. You know, terrorism, it's worst when the worst of being the victim of terrorism is the effects the violence has in your life, you see, in your ability of living your life.
Psychologically.
Psychologically. It's amazing. So So it's, you know, I took 3 years off in a way, and I spent, you know, writing the years writing this book, and I decided that I was okay, and that I was needing to go back to my country, and I went back. It was not safe. It's still not safe, but Colombia has lots of stories, and it's very interesting to be a journalist in that country.
I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Oh, thanks very much, dear.
Maria Jimena Dusan is the author of the new memoir, Deathbeat, A Colombian Journalist's Life Inside the Cocaine Wars. This is Fresh Air.